One day, there was a cowboy out in Arizona, and he was riding his horse down a trail. All of a sudden, as he rounded a bend, he saw a man lying down right in the middle of the trail. The man had his ear pressed close to the ground, and he was listening. As the cowboy got closer to the man, he began to speak. "Wagon," he said, "drawn by two horses. Both horses are gray. There are passengers on the wagon," he said. "Two passengers. One man, one woman, and the man is driving." Naturally, the cowboy was amazed. He just couldn't believe it. "That's incredible," he said. "I can't believe it. You can tell all of this just by listening with your ear to the ground?" And the man replied, "No, they ran me over half an hour ago." Well, from time to time, most of us get run over in life. Something comes along. Perhaps it's a disease, a heart attack, an accident, job loss, a broken relationship, or the loss of a loved one. And it knocks us down to the ground. The man in our gospel lesson this morning had been knocked down. In fact, he had been knocked down permanently. We read that he had been paralyzed for 38 years. But presumably, this wasn't always the case for him. Perhaps there was a time in his life, earlier in his life, when things were going well for him, when he was healthy, when he was employed, when he was esteemed and respected, when people actually paid attention to him. But over time, things began to deteriorate for him. You see, he became ill, and then ultimately he lost his ability to walk. Perhaps you can relate to this man and his situation. Perhaps you remember the glory days of your youth when the boys noticed you. But now several decades have passed and you've had some children, perhaps some grandchildren, and maybe folks just don't notice you like they once did. And you feel as though your opinions aren't really valued anymore. It's true, people are polite to you, but you know, deep down, they're not really listening. Well, for 38 years, the man in our story has been dealing with people not paying attention to him. And so his only hope is to come to this pool, this medicinal pool, and hope to be healed. And so day after day, he lies there beside the waters in the pool. He's become a permanent fixture at the pool, so much so that no one really notices him. People come and people go year after year, day after day, and this man stays waiting, hoping to be healed. No one pays any attention to him, except that someone does. We read that Jesus happens to be passing by this pool on his way to attend a Jewish festival in Jerusalem. John tells us that when Jesus arrives, there are crowds, literally hundreds of sick people lying around the porticos of the pool. And Jesus gets there, he looks around, he sees all these people, and then he zeroes in on this one man, the man that had been sick for so long. And so Jesus comes right up to him and asks, "Do you want to be made well?" Now, on the surface, it seems like a silly question, if not insulting. I mean, of course this man wants to be made well, doesn't he? Who wouldn't want the ability to walk again? But there's a spiritual subtext to Jesus' question, and we can see this clearly by the answer that the man gives. He first says that he can't get into the pool because there's no one there to help him, no one to carry him down the steps into the water. And he goes on, he says, even if I could get there, there's always someone that jumps right in front of me and gets in the way. He appears to be playing the victim card here. You see, rather than answering Jesus' question directly by saying, yes, Jesus, I do want to be made well. Yes, absolutely. Will you make me well? He gives excuses. In his very public sickness, the man has developed a sense of self-pity that has quarantined him from receiving help. You see, the man knew how he could be helped. The prevailing wisdom of the day was that these pools, these medicinal pools, would heal you if you got into the water. And the man's problem wasn't a lack of knowledge. The man knew very well how to be healed. So could it be that he simply had grown used to his status quo, that he didn't really want to change after all? Could it be that his identity was so wrapped up in his disability that he really didn't want help? In his book, The Social Animal, columnist David Brooks summarizes the vast amounts of social science research by stating that information is not very effective in changing behavior. Did you hear that? Information, even the right information, is not very effective in changing behavior. He writes, both reason and will are obviously important in making moral decisions and exercising self-control, but neither of these has proven to be very effective. You can tell people not to eat French fries, for instance. You can give them pamphlets about the risks of obesity. You can deliver sermons urging them to exercise self-control and not to eat the French fries. And in their non-hungry state, most people will vow not to eat the fries. But when their hungry self arises, their well-intentioned self fades away. And what happens? They eat the French fries. Most diets fell, Brooks writes, because the forces of reason and will or knowledge are simply not powerful enough to consistently subdue unconscious urges. The evidence suggests reason and will or knowledge are like muscles and not particularly powerful muscles. In some cases and in right circumstances, they can resist temptation and control the impulses. But in many cases, they are too weak to impose self-discipline by themselves. In many cases, self-delusion takes control. You see, this man has come to a place where he had become comfortable in his state. His identity was wrapped up in his self-pity. And yet, despite all of this, despite the man's excuses and his self-pity, Jesus still meets him there. You see, Jesus doesn't need a right response or even a right answer from us to get on with his project of healing and bringing restoration. Jesus understands that sick people, even us, often resist help. But Jesus helps anyway. And notice what Jesus does here. He doesn't theologize. He doesn't rationalize. He doesn't even rebuke. He simply says, stand up, take your mat, and walk. And so the same question that Jesus asked that man 2,000 years ago is the same question for us today. Do we want to be made well? But before you answer that question, ask yourself, what obstacles have been keeping you from encountering Jesus' transformative power? What excuses have kept you from growing in your faith in Christ? Whatever is in your way, an obstacle, an excuse, contentment in the status quo, fear of change, whatever it is, know that Jesus has the power to cut through all of it. You see, when Jesus speaks, transformation is and healing is the result. When God spoke at creation, he cut through the darkness, the chaos, and the void, and brought about beauty, order, life, and light. John tells us that this creative word at the creation in Genesis 1 was none other than Jesus himself. And this word became flesh and lived among us. And it was the same word, Jesus, who raised Lazarus from the dead in John chapter 11. And it is the same voice, the same word, which will bring healing and restoration to our lives as well. And so back to our question, do we want to be made well? And if so, are we listening? Are we listening to Jesus' voice? Can we hear him when he asks each of us, do you want to be made well? Amen.